The presidential motorcade had just passed through heavy crowds in downtown Dallas and was circling through the fringes of the business district when three shots suddenly rang out.
Destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives. One story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show.
So why does the left get butt hurt over everything? Everything. I mean, you think about it. Anytime there's something, they have to find some way to regulate it. Anytime something happens, it's time for doing something. We got to do something. And you know, they're always on the path of taking away some sort of right, some sort of thing that you enjoy. You know, they tax the hell out of sugar and sodas. You know, I mean, they want to turn speech they don't agree with into hate speech, which is a violation of the First Amendment. And if they don't care about violating the First Amendment, they sure as hell don't care about violating the Second. So, you know, they just get butthurt over everything under the sun. I mean, if you think about it, even just getting hit on. Brie Larson, this chick, I guess she's been in some movies, some King Kong movie or something. Maybe a Captain America, I don't know. She said, I merely smiled at a TSA agent, and he asked for my phone number. To live life as a woman is to live life on the defense. Seriously? I'm like, I'm happy I'm not single these days. Think of what my kids have to go through when they're old enough to date. They could deal with these crazy chicks. They were all, some of them, and I'm not ripping on women, but some of them were already crazy to begin with. You add this third wave feminism and this outrage over somebody smiling or asking a phone number from you, and you just go over the deep end. I mean, you wonder why young men would rather hook up with artificial intelligent females, have female bots, because you can't even ask for a freaking number from these people. And so you got to think about it. It's always something that they have to get butthurt over. And one of the things that really got me is, you know, I mean, think about what the left is for. The left is for banning guns, which is the Second Amendment, removing gun rights from people who are on the no-fly list, which is the Fourth and Fifth Amendments right there. It's due process and illegal search and seizure. They can't just stick you on a list when you've never been tried in court and take away your weapons, silencing hate speech. The First Amendment, they obviously don't care about the Constitution. And what little care they care about the Constitution they have is that they want to tweak and adjust their Christ. Their Christ being the First National Church of Gov. The one they expect us to tithe to in the form of taxes. The one that they expect is going to go out and give charity in the form of welfare. The First National Church of Gov that the liberals enjoy. And so they want to go ahead and remove the Second Amendment. And how do they do it? They're going to start by finding the weakness. They're going to find the spot on the Death Star that they can fly in and shoot, you know, a torpedo right on through and blow up the whole thing. And bump stock is what that is. That's why you're hearing this so much. And so we got to realize the warpath, they've been on that warpath for decades. I mean, it's been decades. And you got to remember the rule of thumb with the left. Anything that they accuse the right of doing, the left actively does. And in fact, I got into it with somebody online who basically said, oh, well, look at Obamacare. I'm like, well, yeah, let's look at that. Because Obamacare repeal was a crap show by the GOP. They obviously don't want to remove it. If they did want to repeal it, they would have done it by now because they have all three branches, but they're not. How many proposals did they throw into the water? All tons of them, and nothing happened. And then when they got power and they have a president saying, hey, bring it on, I'll sign whatever you stick on my desk, because he just wants a win. He doesn't have any ideological skin in the game. They can't even do it. And so we have to remember the left has been actively wanting to remove the Second Amendment for ages. I mean, back in the 90s is when we had this whole background check thing thrown in and registries and stuff. And people were outraged back then. I remember it because, you know, one of the things that we had to look at was, well, I mean, why do you need to put my name on a list? You know, why do you have to then make me register? Why do I need to have my entire life looked into so I can buy a product that the Second Amendment says I can have? I mean, if you want to get into why the Second Amendment is there, like we said last week, we covered this in great detail, go to Federalist 46. The idea behind what James Madison said was basically, there's going to be more of us armed than there are of the government deployed army. It never said anything about, well, you can't have a mode of self-defense that is highly efficient and, you know, quick. You know, I mean, it can't be automatic. You can't have something that's going to ward off a tyrannical government that's equivalent of a tank. I mean, it doesn't matter. If I could split atoms in my basement, I would be responsible enough to not use it against somebody. And you know why? Because I believe in God, and I believe in natural rights, and I believe in morality. I believe that taking that step across the line and killing somebody is something my faith says I should never do. So when you take that faith away, and you take that morality away, even ethics, even if you want to go back and re-inject some sort of ethical standard because you've removed Christ and you removed God and everything else from the mix, I mean, what do you do? Even then, you violate it. You know, I mean, if you remove all that, then you will have somebody that will have no problem going out and going, you know, I don't like those people. Let's just kill them. I mean, that's basically what we're dealing with in Vegas. And so we got to remember that we can't just play the premise of the rules and the, you know, the questions and the premises that the left provides. We can't say, well, you know, we should have reasonable common sense. Don't even use that in your freaking argument. Get back to what is the basic reasoning behind why you believe what you believe. It's the Constitution. And if the Second Amendment shall not be infringed, well, it shall not be infringed. And if James Madison said, well, the reason why is because we got to have more of us armed than there are of the government, when they actually just finished a freaking revolution with a tyrannical government, I would say they probably are the best experts on this. I would say that when they had a fully weaponized and very, very powerful military against them, as they did with the British, you know, crown, I mean, sun never set on the British Empire, did it? And they had to have that empire secured somehow. And so when they go over there and they put their ragtag group together, they defeated the British because they were able to be armed. I mean, look what's looking, you know, it goes back to that thing that I said a couple shows ago, where sometimes God throws a little real world example into the mix. And if you're not able to recognize it, you miss it. But he gives you an example about something you're talking about, you know, healthcare and Charlie Gard, like we were talking about. You know, we're going, well, they might have death panels. And then what happens? Charlie Gard's life is decided by death panels. Same thing's happening now. You're looking at what's going on in Catalonia. They want independence from Spain. Spain doesn't want to let them go. And now riots are happening, and the people of Catalonia can't fight back against the Spanish government because they're not weaponized. They don't have the ability to protect themselves with arms. While we sit here and have this same debate that was supposed to take it off the news, Vegas was supposed to be wiped right off the news cycle, or was supposed to wipe Catalonia right off the news cycle and just consume every minute of our lives. And it kind of has. I mean, but if you were willing to look through the smoke of BS, if you were willing to pierce the darkness of the news media and what they want to present to you, and you searched it out, which I continually do through international media. It's why I actually will go into the lion's den and watch the Iranian English News Network Press TV. It's why I will watch the Turkish-American News Network, TRT World. It's why I will watch CCTV, the Chinese English News Network. Because if you can filter through the propaganda, you'll see things happening overseas that our government, our media, whatever, they don't even want to talk about. And Catalonia is an example of a tyrannical government attacking its people who want to be free. And when we remove the guns here, when we give up the bum stocks, which we're going to get into more in great more detail, I'm going to have Pat Nicholas on the show. She was on before from the Federalist Party. She is a Second Amendment expert. And she and I have been talking about this, and she told me some things about the bump stock that I was not aware of, that nobody in the punditry world, on the news, even in talk radio, no one is talking about these aspects. The fact that the bump stock is basically a wheelchair, for lack of a better term, for the disabled to be able to shoot. We're going to get into all that here in just a minute, but I wanted to let you know that this war that they've been waging for a long time, don't give in to their talking points and give up by saying, oh, well, you know, we should have sensible regulation on bump stocks. You know, the founding fathers never defined what the arms were that you were allowed to bear, only that you can bear them because it allows you an advantage that most countries do not allow its citizenry. Be back on the other side of the break.
This is Adrian Slade.
Broadcast.
Whenever anyone says, why do you need, you got to bat that down. Why does someone else have the right to determine what's enough? Why does the left say, oh, why do you need so many guns? Why do you need to make so much money? Remember, Obama said, at some point, you've made enough money. So how much is enough, Barack? Is it when you've made $400,000 a speech? Is it when Bill Clinton makes $500,000 a speech? Is it when Jimmy Kimmel makes a crap ton of money when he hires a crap ton of armed security? How much is enough? And how does a segment of society that despises weapons or even rich CEOs determine how much is enough? I mean, on this National Bumpfire Stock Week, similar to National Donut Day and National Taco Day, which oddly fell on a Wednesday, it should be on a freaking Tuesday. That should be mandated like, you know, Thanksgiving. Taco, National Taco Day, always on a Tuesday. But anyways, but since it's National Bumpfire Stock Week, let's celebrate by having our Second Amendment expert, Pat Nicholas from the Federalist Party, back on. You can follow her on Twitter at IAGunGal. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Hey, thanks, Adrian. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you again. All right, so the question on everybody's mind, what is a bumpfire stock?
A bumpfire stock is a piece of polymer with a block and a spring. That's what a bumpfire stock is. And what it does is it increases the rate of fire of a semi-automatic weapon. It does not convert said semi-automatic weapon into fully automatic. It still requires one round per trigger pull. You have to have pressure on the trigger to expel a round.
Okay, and that's the thing. A lot of people just automatically assume it's this magical little device you just clip on in, and suddenly you're like Rambo, just spraying the crowd, and it's far from the truth.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's still pressure on the trigger. You can achieve the same result with a common household rubber band.
That's what I've heard.
You can achieve the same result with your belt loop.
Yeah, I've been hearing the belt loop part and the rubber band one I just heard the other day, and that to me is amazing. Because, you know, a lot of people just assume that this thing is some hack, you know, that gives you fully automatic capabilities when there's actually other ways around to do it.
Oh, absolutely.
So now here's another question. What was the origin for the bumpfire stock? What was the reason why it was created?
It was originally intended to assist people whose hands have limited mobility to bump fire. That's how it got its name, to bump fire an AR-15 style rifle. It was reviewed by the ATF for that purpose, thoroughly gone over by the ATF for that purpose. The ATF determined that the stock has no automatically functioning mechanical parts. It was useful for its intended purpose, and it was approved for that purpose.
Yeah, I was going to say, you had a letter that you showed me where the ATF actually explained a lot of this stuff.
Exactly. Yep, and that was the approval letter on, I believe it was June 7th, 2010.
See, and it's amazing because the left is not even focusing on the aspect. I mean, it's basically like a wheelchair for a gun, right? You know, like a...
Yeah, yeah.
And there's...
Imagine your neighbor is an avid gun shooter. He grew up shooting guns. You know, he's got lots of rifles, he's got lots of pistols, he's got shotguns. And as he advances in age, he starts getting worse and worse and worse rheumatoid arthritis.
Gotcha.
You know, should we infringe on the rights of your neighbor who has rheumatoid arthritis and needs this device to exercise the Second Amendment rights to have fun at the range?
Well, you know,
due to his limited mobility, just because one guy, you know, out of hundreds of thousands of guys that have bought this stock, misused it in a manner that it wasn't intended for.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, too, because, you know, I was listening to Dan Bongino the other day, and he basically said, you know, this is like a bee sting event. You know, it's rare that you get a bee sting, but when you do, yeah, it hurts. The problem is we are now, and you can put on a Kevlar suit to block yourself from the bee sting, but at what cost to that, you know, is that to you? You're going to have to walk around with this Kevlar suit on. So it's like we are taking what is a bee sting and we're putting on a Kevlar suit when we don't need to, and we're infringing on everybody's rights in the process.
Exactly. You know, I want to know when the Bill of Rights became a list of suggestions.
Yeah, no kidding.
It shall not be infringed. It is not a suggestion. It's a directive to the federal government.
Exactly. And it's funny because I made this point in the opening segment. You know, the Constitution to them is a living document. And because they view government as their God, then they're going to make some adjustments to their Christ. You know, they're going to go through and go, ah, you know, we can make some adjustments here. Kind of like what they do with the Pope. You know, if the Pope says this behavior over here is now suddenly endorsed by God because the Pope said it is, well, then it's okay. We can do that now. And that's what they do with the Constitution. And so they make little adjustments and tweaks here. And I'm going, they do those tweaks through the judiciary. I'm like, the reason why a constitutional convention is so cumbersome, so difficult, is because it's meant by design to be that way. So what do you think about this whole argument that's going on right now with the bump fire stock, whether it should be banned, all that mess? I mean, I got a little bit...
The argument is ridiculous on so many levels and coming from both sides of the debate. You know, on one side, you have, I mean, you've got liberals and people like Newt Gingrich showing up on my TV first thing in the morning, you know, before I've even had a cup of coffee, which I desperately need if I'm going to hear him prattling on about this.
Sean Hannity's sidekick. Every time I turn on the radio, he's on there with him. I'm like, is he a co-host for Hannity now? I don't know.
No. This isn't, he was on Fox and Friends this morning. Insisting, you know, that a bump fire stock turns a semi-automatic rifle into a fully automatic weapon. You know, and then they go on to say fully automatic weapons, otherwise known as machine guns, the ATF only has two classifications, semi-automatic and machine gun, you know, going on to say that they're illegal. They're not illegal. You know, you got a few extra hoops you got to jump through to own a machine gun, but they're not illegal. So I'm getting sick of that argument being floated, too.
It's funny, you know, when going back to what Dan Bongino was saying, and I would take his word fairly well, being a Secret Service agent at some point, but, you know, he said the reason why we don't like bump fire stocks is because they suck. You know, they're not accurate, and jam up your machines. He's like, if you looked in the picture, there's a bunch of weapons that are all jammed up.
Yep, and they'll trash your barrel instantly. I would never own one personally. I personally view them as a range toy, you know, but what bothers me is that so many people on the right, because they would personally never own one, are okay with banning them.
Well, it's funny, you know? Because the people on the right, they're just adopting the narrative and the language and the premise. They're basically saying, well, we should have, you know, they start breaking out that we should have common sense gun. No. We need to get back to the roots of what the argument's all about.
Exactly. Well, and one of my biggest, I mean, the thing that made my jaw hit the floor was Wayne LaPierre coming out and flat out saying, you know, and I quote, the NRA believes devices designed to allow semi-automatic rifles to function like fully automatic rifles should be subject to additional regulations. That's the head of your number one gun rights organization in the nation saying that.
Hey, do you think they're throwing a bone out there to kind of try to circumvent this entire wave of outrage on the left?
Well, the theory I keep hearing is that if we give on bump stocks, then maybe we will get something in return, like national reciprocity or removal of suppressors from the NSA list, which I think is, you know, anybody who believes that is naive.
But when have we gotten anything out of
our
with these
senators
guys
on the left, and we would need three, do they think are going to vote for national reciprocity or removing suppressors from the NFA list merely because we banned bump stocks?
Oh, we're not going to get anything. I mean, we're barely, who knows if we're going to get tax reform, and we didn't get Obamacare. So I can't place faith in the fact that we can throw them a little bone like this and they'll turn around and go, hey, we'll go ahead and give you national reciprocity. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, they'll magically have an epiphany. On national reciprocity.
Yeah, they might actually do their job. They might do why we elected them to take the majority in three branches of government.
Yeah, well, we definitely can't trust McConnell and Ryan to push through any program gun legislation. I mean, these are our two leaders, you know, of the Senate and of Congress that quiver at mere mention of the words government shutdown.
Yeah.
And they're painted as, you know, once all the amendments, once all the anti-gun amendments are thrown into this ban on the bump stock bill, you know, they're going to cave instantly once they're being portrayed as, you know, coddling a mass murderer and hating the people of Las Vegas.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a huge slippery slope. And I hate using that term because it's so cliche. But
yeah,
we've burned out
all those phrases, conservative, slippery slope, and it's because we have to use it so many times to try to put people in perspective, but it's been done so many times, we have to find new ways to do that.
Yeah, I mean, once we ban the bump stock, what's next? Yeah. Which accessory is next? The next time some new technology comes out and somebody misuses it in a way that it was never intended to be used, are we going to ban that next?
Yeah. Exactly.
Where does this end?
You know what? And that's a good time for a break. You want to stick around for a little bit?
Sure.
All right. We'll be back in just a second on the other side of the break.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
Welcome back to the show. I've got Pat Nicholas from the Federalist Party, my Second Amendment expert. You can follow on Twitter at IAGunGal. So let's get back into this whole hubbub that's been going on about, bumpfire stocks and you know, the attack on the Second Amendment ever since this whole Vegas shooting. I'm trying to figure out where they're going to start moving into next. I mean, do you have any ideas of what we can look for as far as what the left's going to do?
I think we're probably, you know, I hate to speculate, but the fact that they came out, you know, less than 6 hours after the shooting, climbed onto the backs of the dead, dug their heels into their throats, and used their still warm bodies as their personal platform for a gun control agenda, that leads me to believe that they're going to go whole hog, and we're going to see introduction of another bill similar to the Clinton assault weapons ban and the bill that Dianne Feinstein presented to the Congress back in 2013 after Sandy Hook. Now, do I think that's going to get any legs? No, because the one thing we can always count on for the left to do is shoot for the moon and get nothing when it comes to gun control.
That's been kind of their whole...
My big concern is the slide to the left from the right.
Yeah, that I'm with you on that because, you know, I think... It's unpopular right now to even mess with anything that has to do with the Second Amendment, contrary to popular belief. And Feinstein is, you know, I mean, Pelosi has already come out and said, hey, we want everything, and this is the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of made a joke. I said, this is the Death Star exhaust unit to where, you know, when Luke Skywalker flies in and shoots the torpedo into the hole, the whole Death Star explodes. That's what I think the bump fire is for the left. They're looking at it going, oh, we get that. We can start moving it in. Because some of the other things that I've heard is that if they can do that, if they pass that, then they can use that as a precedent for anything else that might be, you know, related to semi-automatics. And that opens a whole nother door.
The scary thing is, with the Clinton assault weapons ban and with Feinstein's bill in 2013, what defined an assault weapon Okay, it's a word that wasn't even part of the American lexicon prior to the Clinton assault weapons ban. And what it refers to is a semi-automatic weapon that shares too many cosmetic features with its fully automatic counterpart. Things like a pistol grip, a flash hider, collapsible stock, accessories that really have no bearing on the lethality of the weapon. Now that the right and the largest gun rights advocacy group in the country, the NRA, are saying, well, yeah, you know, maybe we can give on this cosmetic feature. Maybe we can give on this accessory. You know, it's like what that sets the precedent for going after every other accessory that you might find on a modern-day sporting rifle or an AR-15.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, because that's the thing. When you hear Pelosi, she's sitting there going, oh, well, we need, you know, background checks. 1996 called. They want their talking point back. Because didn't we get that? It was during Clinton when we got all these daggone background checks and registries and crap like that. So they're running this tired playbook, but they think that they've got an opening here, but they're going to easily have more of an opening if the right caves in and starts, you know, you hear them say things like when the right is saying, oh, well, you know, assault rifles or assault weapons. Well, they're already using
fully automatic weapon. Yeah,
they're already using the language. They're already succumbing to the fact that the left is excellent marketers. I mean, that's one thing that we don't do. We don't market the way they do. They know how to rebrand everything. And so they rebranded.
Well, whoever controls the language wins.
Exactly.
You have an excellent point on that.
I mean, they rebranded what is a rifle into, first they say it's a weapon, and like I heard somebody make the point earlier today that when does it become a weapon? I mean, if I have my gun sitting in a drawer and I never use it, is it really a weapon? Because I've never weaponized it. You know, and then you have to think of the fact that then they say, oh, it's an assault one. You know, AR-15 must mean assault rifle 15. No, that doesn't. And that's the thing, is it's not an assault.
Armalite.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it kills me. But they know how to rebrand it. They know how to change the narrative using little phrases and naming, kind of like Trump does to his opponents. You know, he's going to, you know, Rocket Man over there and, Little Marco or whatever.
Little Marco.
Yeah, they know how
Lion
to.
Ted.
Yeah, exactly. They know how to make a nickname for whatever it is they do and shift the entire argument.
Right. You know, never mind the fact. I like that you brought up the background checks. This guy passed background checks.
Exactly.
He owned these guns legally.
Yeah.
Some of the guns that he bought in California, you know, one of the states with the strictest gun control laws out there. You know, we were told all these laws were put in place to stop people like Stephen Paddock from getting firearms. It didn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know why they think banning the bump stock is going to work.
And I don't know how you can legislate somebody going all Ohio Kent State from like the 32nd floor of a freaking casino. I mean, you can't.
Yeah, you can't.
There's no way to stop that.
You can't legislate the evil out of somebody.
Exactly. And that's the point that I always make. I'm like, we've allowed, you know, society to get to a point where it's fine to, you know, abort some babies because, you know, that's punishment to me. Or it's fine to just, you know, I can go ahead and do what I want because there's no morality left because we've yanked that out of it and we've tried to go back and replace it. You know, I witnessed that in some of my college studies. You know, when I went back for a different career change, there was an ethics course in every flipping course because, well, you've removed God, you've removed all this stuff from education, and now you need to put it back in because, you know, in my other, you know, side of life, is more of a financial side, and they always go back to Enron and WorldCom and all that. And I'm like, well, you guys did this to yourself when you took everything out of there, and now you're trying to inject some, you know, ethical standing back into it. And now here we are.
Yeah. You know, we've always won the gun debate, okay? Because, I mean, the Pulse nightclub shooting was roughly 1 year ago. It was on September 19th, I believe.
Yes.
September 19th or 16th, 2016. Okay, so it was almost a year ago. I want to know what changed in that year. You know, when that happened, we suffered brutal attacks on the Second Amendment from the left. We stayed calm. We stayed cool. We stayed, you know, collected. and our rebuttal to their emotional argument was facts. And the whole debate was over within 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. After something like that, we still beat the argument, the narrative. We beat it down.
Right.
And I
mean, facts will always beat the emotional argument.
Exactly.
And I can't understand why we're not using facts with this shooting as well. We're caving to the emotional argument.
Well, and we're also allowing them to paint certain narratives with the shooting. You know, I mean, at first they were saying, well, it could be politically motivated. And I don't want to get into the whole detail behind motives and speculation. But when you find out that the guy had booked a hotel room over in Chicago near Lollapalooza, and he actually was going to book, or he tried to book a hotel the week before at a hip-hop concert, I don't see a thread on politics. You know what I mean?
Neither do I.
And so, and he was looking for ultimate devastation. I mean, he shot over at the freaking aviation fuel tanks, hoping to ignite them out of stupidity, because that's never going to happen. But, you know, he attempted it because he wanted to have that hopefully, you know, look like MacGyver and just do this giant explosion, take out half the people. But, you know, the fact that this guy was able to get, through the casino security with all those weaponry, it's amazing to me. But you, where there's a will, there's a way. You know, if he's wanting to do it, he's gonna do it. And if he didn't have a gun, maybe he decided to go down there with a flamethrower. Who knows? I mean,
yeah,
he could. It's really speculative to think about what could have and should have happened or what. But at the very least, don't just take everybody's rights away because this crazed guy shows up
exactly.
And does this.
Exactly. I mean, the bump stock's been used millions of times since it's been on the market. Millions of times by hundreds of thousands of people.
You know, it's funny you say that.
I don't see how banning it because one guy misused it is any different than the left calling to ban the AR-15 because one guy misused it.
Exactly.
Tell me what the difference is there. Well, there is none.
Well, not only that, it's like, you know, you said the letter that you said that you showed me was approved in 2010. So that's 7 years of bump fire stock existence under the ATF's rules, and I've never heard of it. So it must not have been too bad of an issue because who's ever used it inappropriately as far as the
nobody.
News goes? Nobody.
Yeah.
So.
And now they're starting to go after Tannerite. Because Tannerite was in his car. Have you heard about that?
I have heard about that. Now, that was the explosive that was found in the vehicle, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Not only did he have Tannerite, he had the components to make Tannerite. You know, Tannerite, I don't know if you're familiar with Tannerite at all. It's another range toy. You know, it's kind of cool for, you know, hollowing out a watermelon and sticking some Tannerite in there and going down to the 50-yard line and blowing up the watermelon.
Got it now, because you know it's funny. I always make the joke. I'm like, you know, if he does, like, say somebody attacks with a knife and a gun, they always go after the gun sense, you know, hashtag gun sense, but they never do that with the knife. And so I was making the joke. I'm like, oh, okay, hashtag chemical explosive components control, you know. But then, when you say that they actually are used in tandem with, you know, as like you said, like a range toy. Well, no wonder they would go after that now, because they've never gone after it at any other time.
Right. Well, and the crazy thing about it, though, is the mixture for Tannerite is extremely simple. It's 95% ammonium nitrate.
Oh, wow.
So what are we going to do, ban ammonium nitrate?
Yeah. Well, see, and that's where their logic ends, because they think that you can just ban, you know, the simple final package. But they don't think about all the components that go in. That's where the unintended consequence of progressivism and liberalism comes into play, because
exactly.
It just rolls downhill into all these other areas.
Yeah, yeah. Same way with the bump stock. I mean, it's a super simple device to make. So is a trigger crank. Trigger crank can have the same effect, you know, as a bump stock. We're going to banner ourselves out of existence here. I mean, whatever happened to individual liberty?
Exactly.
If I want to waste my money on a bump stock that can possibly, you know, trash my barrel and will definitely cause me to blow through way too much money in ammo in a very short period of time, don't I have the right to waste my money? I mean, isn't that my choice?
Yeah, and how much ammo do you need? I'm sorry, I had to bring it full circle to the needs. Well, hey, Pat, I appreciate you joining me on the program. Thanks again for joining us. And I have a feeling with the way things are in the news cycle, especially with bump fire stocks and guns and everything, you're probably going to be getting back on the show fairly soon.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
So, and tell us where to find you on YouTube.
YouTube, it's just my name, Pat Nicholas. Really creative YouTube channel name.
Watch her shows because she's got some great information, and you know, it's pretty entertaining as well. So, we'll have you back on really soon. All right, Pat.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Adrian.
All right, take care.
All righty.
We'll be back in a moment.
This is Adrian Slade.
Adrian Slade broadcast.
So we know that Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Papers 29 actually sums up what a well-regulated militia is. And contrary to you leftists out there who I've been battling with online, well-regulated militia does not mean over-regulated, background checks, registry, gun registry, you know, law, just law after law after law against guns. They didn't mean, hey, we're going to put together a militia. Let's regulate the crap out of it so it's a well-regulated militia. That's not what it means. Okay? I mean, try using a little bit of common sense, maybe a little bit of logic and reasoning. And of course, James Madison, again, one of my favorite founders of all, in Federalist 46, basically said, you have the right to bear arms because your armed mass, you know, the citizenry of the United States, is always going to outnumber the military, who could be used as a tyrannical tool for the government out of hand. And of course, George Mason, in debates in Virginia Convention of Ratification of the Constitution back in 1788, said, I ask, sir, what is this militia? It is the whole people, except for a few public officials. So it really doesn't come down to guns, whether they're automatic, semi-automatic, whether you put a bump fire stock on there, just as Pat Nicholas at IA Gun Girl, which you can find on Twitter. What we just talked about, you know, it has nothing to do with that. I mean, again, the bump fire stock is basically the wheelchair for rifles and for shooting. And of course, those who actually can handle a weapon without assistance don't even want to use them because they jam up and destroy your weapon. In much the same way that you are now taking away the ability for those who have that limited disability, the opportunity to fire a weapon. I mean, I could do the same thing with a crutch. You know, a crutch is used to help people that are disabled walk. I could take a crutch and follow you out into the middle of Las Vegas Strip, beat you down with a crutch unbeknownst to you, and beat you to almost literal death. Does that mean we outlaw the crutch? I mean, or is it that I have the moral fiber to not want to do that, to not want to take it down that road? And of course, there are some people that are mentally ill. We need to figure out how to recognize that. But at the same time, you can't, you know, put everybody who's slightly mentally ill in a box. You can't just infringe on everybody's mental illness. I mean, some of it could be very slight. You can't just infringe on their rights. So removing the guns is an ulterior motive behind their outrage, because they're not outraged over the loss of life. If that was the case, then they would be against abortion. You know, they're always railing against the death penalty for criminals. They're always railing against gun violence, but yet they never rail against, you know, vehicle violence, knife violence, and they never, you know, go against abortion. So they're frauds in my book. But we need to realize that we should not be ceding over our one ability to uphold all of our freedoms by giving away our guns to those who we think are going to be benevolent and deliver freedom and natural rights to us better than God can, that being the almighty government. I'm Adrian Slade. Thanks for tuning in. You can support the show. Go to patreon.com/Adrian Slade Show. That's patreon.com/Adrian Slade Show. $2 a month is going to get you all types of goodies. Early access to the show before it goes to air. Even extra goodies. You can listen on Talk America Radio Wednesday at 1 p.m. on the Liberty Channel, Eastern Standard Time. Also on the Liberty Channel on Saturday, 9 a.m. in the morning, Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. in the evening. Flip over if you miss it on the Justice Channel on Talk America Radio, 7 p.m. on Saturday and 8 a.m. on Sundays. Check out the podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Spreaker. Tune in. Get the free Adrian Slade Show Roku channel in the streaming store, and we'll see you guys next week.